Tigers will play at warp speed. We'll find out from Utah State just how fast they go. We'll hear from Zion as the Pelicans are on the hardwood as we speak. The Astros will await the Wednesday winner. Will it be the Rays or the A's as they set their sights on winning and getting to the World Series and then winning it all? And how nervous are you about the Saints and Tampa by the Bay this Sunday? All these stories, all these interviews coming your way today, Tuesday. By golly, we're in October. It's October the 1st, 2019.
Second down and 10, shotgun snap from the Bengal 43, drops back, winds up, long pass, down the middle, he's got him, over the shoulder, catch of the 10, 5, touchdown, Deontay Johnson, what a throw, and what a catch, 43-yard touchdown strike, the Steelers through the air, leading 23-3.
Guys that know how to win, guys that have won a lot of games in their careers, and that we stuck together all week, even though, you know, the rough start. And our message all week was just stack one and then start stacking more. So that's the plan moving forward, and got a heck of a group of guys that are going to do that.
No, I feel like every game has been different, to be quite honest with you. Early in this game, we felt like we were moving the ball. Last week, we weren't moving the ball at all. I'm just up here making excuses what it feels like, to be honest with you. We got to get it done. You know, we got to figure it out. I got to figure it out. Players got to figure it out. We got to come together, and we can't all be up here making these excuses for not scoring points and not getting stops, and it's just on us to get it figured out.
Oh, another snoozer of a Monday nighter as the Steelers took care of business against the Bungles, who are still winless. A battle of winless teams. Now the Steelers have won, and Cincinnati still, they're just ugly. Too much defense. And when you got to use the Wildcat as much as the Steelers did, that just kind of goes to show you. But they get the win, and that's what matters, and we're thankful to be here. We turned the calendar to the 10th month of the year. We're already in October. I cannot believe it. My main man, CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which is 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. Yours truly, I'm just your humble host right here, Studio 1A. Hope everybody's having a great day today. Tigers are back on the practice field. Linebacker Kalavon Chaisson, defensive lineman Rashard Lawrence are still gimpy, according to Ed Orgeron. They're questionable for the game. Michael Divinity, defensive end Glenn Logan have been ruled out for this week. And it's probably, maybe you need to keep Chaisson and Rashard Lawrence out of the game, because as Coach O said, warp speed is the plan, because he described Utah State's up-tempo offense.
Utah State's offense is a spread offense led by a very, very good quarterback in Jordan Love. One of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's thrown for over 6,000 yards and 40 TDs in his career, averaging 38 points a game. The thing that makes their offense go is the speed of the offense. Very, very fast. Faster than any team we've seen, including Missouri. So we're going to have to practice that this week. We started on a little bit last week. We're going to get better at it this week. They also do some lookovers, get the line of scrimmage, see what you in, check, and they're very good at it.
The last time LSU played a team like this that I recall where they talked about the tempo was the season opener back in 2011 against Oregon, when they had Marcus Mariota and all those guys out there, and LSU would shuffle two defensive units in at a time, two offensive units in at a time to keep the defense moving, and they were in great shape, and that was one of the better defenses that LSU's ever had. But back to the quarterback, Jordan Love. Coach O thinks he's a first-round draft pick.
Very smart. Knows where to go with the ball. He's only got sacked three times this year. Quick release, can avoid pressure, is able to run the zone read. He's definitely a first-round pick, I do believe, in the NFL. We'll play in the NFL for a long time. He is an extremely good quarterback in all areas.
All right. Is he a Sam Ehlinger? No. But we'll see, and we'll talk in hour number two with Kevin White at about 3:15. Kevin White, a former National Junior College Championship quarterback, now doing the color for Utah State on their radio. He'll describe and tell us all about this high-speed, up-tempo offense that is Utah State. They may not want to get in a track meet with LSU. They just may not. Again, 11 o'clock kickoff here on 103.7 The Game, pregame show at 9 a.m. Meanwhile, the UL Raging Cajuns have the weekend off. They will play next Wednesday, a big game. And again, I'm going to say it every day. Raging Cajun fans, I'm calling you out. If you don't pack that stadium next Wednesday, 1 week from tomorrow, then I have no sympathy for you. I just don't. You better pack that place. If not now, when? Billy Napier talked about midweek games.
It is what it is. I mean, I think that it's all perspective. It's how you look at it. You know, we view it as a tremendous positive. You know, I think it's a. You're talking about Wednesday night. You're talking about national television, probably the only game on TV in the entire country in college football. You know, and our fans, you know, they've got an opportunity to come out on a Wednesday night just like if Allie and I were going to dinner. You know, it's just the event of the evening, you know. And certainly I think that our students, our fans have got a tremendous opportunity to represent this community, this university, and certainly get behind and support the team.
Show up. Show out. Wear your vermilion, and let's go have some fun. The Saints get back into action on Sunday. Tampa Bay comes to town before the Saints go on the road for two at Jacksonville and at Chicago. So a very important three-game stretch. This is the most important of the three. It's a division foe. You've got them at home. You got to get this one. And one thing has to get cleaned up, and Sean Payton addressed it, after the win over Dallas.
I don't know who, you know, who you put in there. It's going to be hard to overcome some of those penalties. Those got have to get cleaned up, and they're going to get cleaned up, I promise you. It's been too difficult to overcome.
Too difficult. Well, how many first downs do you have that get called back because of holding or motion penalty? Just they got to get it cleaned up. Oh, by the way, the Pelicans are on the hardwood. They're practicing as we speak. And they had media day yesterday. Yes, Zion's got the billboards everywhere. But they're trying to focus and trying to take some of the pressure off of him by saying this is Drew Holiday's team, and he is an MVP candidate. Drew Holiday said, I'm just going to be me.
My approach is going to be the same. The way I play, I feel like it's going to be the same. Obviously, there's things that I work on in the offseason, especially in this game today. Shooting threes is huge, especially in the type of game that we play and the type of style that we want to play. But, yeah, man, I do feel like we have a lot more young guys than the past. So hopefully there's some things that I can pass along. I'm one of the older, and I'm not even that old, which is crazy. But I feel like I'm one of the older ones. So just this going into my 11th year is just having some experience, I feel like I can help.
Not too long ago, he was an Eastern Conference All-Star, one of the better two-way players in the league. He leads by example. He's not a very vocal guy. They're trying to get some of that vocal out of him. Meanwhile, Lonzo Ball, this is the player I'm most curious to see. gets away from the farther shadow in L.A., gets away from LeBron James. And Lonzo summed it all up best by saying this.
I mean, it's just a reset. I wouldn't say weight's lifted off our shoulders. You know, I'm brought here to do a job, same way I was brought to L.A. to do a job. But just a restart. You know, I'm happy to be here, happy to start over, start fresh, and do something new.
Get the ball and run and find people. And he's already talked about this. Throw it up toward the backboard. Throw it up to the glass. And Zion will get it. And Zion has been, you saw it before the Saints game, part of the NBC pregame show talking about the city. He's on billboards everywhere. He's been at LSU games, Tulane games. I'm surprised he hadn't seen the UL Raging Cajuns play, but they've been on the road a lot. But Zion says, despite it all, it's been crazy. It's been fun.
It's been crazy and fun. Always on the move, but just having fun. I think when people look at what I'm doing, they'll say it's very stressful, but I'm having fun with it. Like in all these meetings, when I'm meeting my new teammates, trying to gel with them, it's a fun process. Because I'm 19. Like 2 years ago, I was just a senior in high school, and now I'm sitting here. So I think about stuff like that, and I'm just, it's a blessing to be here.
I mean, think about that. He's going to LSU games. He's on the sideline. I mean, he'd be a sophomore in college. Now he doesn't have to worry about the California bill because he's got more zeros behind the number than you could ever imagine, plus a shoe deal and all the other endorsements that he's getting. But he is a kid. He just turned 19. Unfathomable. They're practicing twice a day, getting after it. We'll get some reports on that as the days go by. LSU basketball, the Raging Cajuns, all underway as well. That's some of our sound that CD's put together for us. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you what our guest list is in this hour. We talked about hour number two, Kevin White, Utah State, Mike Nabors from Cox Sports Television. He got the word from Drew Brees. We'll find out how Drew is feeling, what the timetable is for his return. In this hour, Billy Embody, Go247 Sports. It's been a while since we talked recruiting. The Tigers having great success on the field, particularly offensively. We'll find out what the recruits are thinking and how this is boding well for the future. And, of course, Friday will be the division series. The Astros will start things off at Minute Maid Park. It'll either be Tampa Bay or it'll be the Oakland A's, as those two will battle Wednesday. One game, winner take all. The National League gets underway tonight with the Brewers at the Nationals. Winner, survive in advance. Loser, season over. Two great nights of baseball. But the Astros open up. Of course, they open up at 1:05 on Friday. We've been showing the Astros all year long. So we said, look, let's just do it. So we won't have a football Friday on a Friday. We'll have our football Friday on a Thursday, and then we'll defer to the Astros. I mean, it's playoff time. You got to show it. You got to listen to it. So we'll do that on Friday. Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle will join us. Who do the Astros want to play? Tampa Bay or the A's? And who's going to stop the team with the best offense, the best pitching staff? They've been phenomenal all year long. So that's what we got in store for you and yours, plus a little bit more from Zion today as well. We are brought to you each and every day by Peterbilt of Louisiana. It's the dream and the goal of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt because it's the best in the business. It is the most comfortable, the most affordable, the most reliable, the best resale value. It's just the best of the best. When the Tigers travel on the road, they get their equipment from point A to the stadium where they play with a Peterbilt truck. In Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, new truck purchases, used truck purchases, leases, parts and service. We've got it all. Peterbilt of Louisiana. Billy Embody, Go247 Sports next.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, at ShopRite Tobacco Plus, we've got spacious stores, about 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana that are filled with Louisiana products. We have modern restrooms that are clean and comfortable. We have delicious food, always fresh, always fast. So whether your needs are fresh food, fuel, top shelf wines or spirits, or just a quick pit stop, we look forward to serving you at ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. Billy Embody does a great job for Go247 Sports, covering LSU in a myriad of ways, including recruiting. He joins us now. Billy, thanks for the time, buddy. I'm always curious, with an open date, that means coaches are out on the road recruiting. How much was it for this 2020 class? How much of the recruiting were for classes beyond this year?
Yeah, a lot of it was checking in with their 2020 commits, showing them, hey, we want to come out with our first opportunity to go national and recruit and come and see you guys and see them on big stages. A couple of them were playing nationally televised games on ESPN. Guys like Rakim Jarrett out of Washington, D.C. was playing modern day and had an impressive performance. Mickey Joseph and Joe Brady were on hand for that. Guys like Marlon Martinez, who you kind of killed two birds with one stone, James Craig seeing an LSU commit and then seeing one of the top offensive tackles that's left on the board in Marcus Dumervil in action last weekend. So a lot of it was them seeing their commits. Steve Ensminger went and saw TJ Finley play against Covington. Dave Aranda and Bill Johnson, though, on the other hand, we're seeing guys like McKinley Jackson, who's one of the top uncommitted defensive tackles in the country, left on the board. So it was, for the most part, 2020, but they still got their fix in on some of the guys they really need to see that are left on the board.
Very seldom do you get all the commits that you have, particularly with how far some of these players are away from here. Are you feeling comfortable from all the things that you're hearing and the contacts that you have? Are you feeling comfortable about the commits that LSU does have right now? And if not, how many defections are a normal thing out of something like that group?
Yeah, it's kind of a case-by-case basis. Like, we saw Patrick Jenkins out of John Arrett decommit, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago now. And he's a New Orleans kid. He committed after camping with LSU. He, you know, was kind of rising up some recruiting rankings, and he just said, you know what, I'm looking at this, and I don't feel as comfortable as I was with my LSU commitment, and he backed off, and it was kind of a surprise. He felt like there are some other places that he might fit a little bit better scheme-wise, and so he decided to reconsider, and that's right in the state of Louisiana. And so I think it allows them some flexibility to say, okay, all right, we have a different look now. We thought we would probably end up with Patrick Jenkins, and who knows, maybe he does circle back. But I think it'll be a more national look that they go to. And then Jacoby and Guillory, who's out of the Alexandria area, is still out there and a huge target for them. But it allows them some flexibility where they could say, okay, well, maybe somebody we might have parted ways with in the class to open up a spot for another player, maybe we go a different route with him, and maybe we feel better about keeping him on board, you know, depending on how the numbers. But make no mistakes about it, Ed Ogeron and this staff are going to take a look at everybody's senior film and for the most part evaluate everybody on an even playing field and say, okay, well, maybe we do need to part ways with this player. Maybe they haven't lived up to the expectations we had, or maybe this player just isn't a fit for us that we thought. So things like that can happen. I mean, I can't sit here and just say, oh, there's going to be two for sure, and here's who they are. But it does happen that it's more of a mutual parting of ways.
Running backs, they're in on some good ones. Do you feel good about any of them?
Yeah, I think one that's certainly trending a little bit towards LSU would be Zach Evans, but his recruitment has kind of been there's been all these rumors he's headed to Alabama, he's headed to Georgia, he's headed to Texas A&M. LSU's in it. It's kind of all over the place. He's the five-star running back out of Houston area, the number one running back in the country. Mm-hmm. He was suspended a couple games earlier this year. Kind of, I think sometimes when these guys get to be seniors and they're as heavily recruited as they are and as talented, especially in Zach's case, as they are, they might, A, kind of lose sight for sure on the team aspect kind of things, and maybe they need to kind of be put mm-hmm. back into, you know, on in their place a little bit in terms of being on a high school player. And I think that happened in Zach's case. I've seen it before. But so he's back in action. He's looking like the number one running back in the country. And I think LSU's certainly in the mix for him. It's just going to be one of those wild recruitments where, I mean, we've heard rumors that he's going to commit to Georgia and commit to Alabama and do this, do that. But none of it really ever comes from Zach. It just kind of comes from, you know, the grapevine. And so I think he's one where LSU's always been in it. And there's a thought that he'll be right there at the end. And it wouldn't shock me if he ended up committing to LSU and ending up at LSU.
Very interesting. And then, of course, offensive line. People are concerned about that. We talked about one for not this class, but the next class. But do you see them signing another offensive lineman? I think that would be something that would be important on their list.
Yeah, offensive tackle for sure. And the one that I mentioned is definitely this cycle. He's teammates with Marlon Martinez, and that's Marcus Dumervil. And we've had some crystal ball movement on him going, you know, towards LSU. And I feel good about where they stand. I'm actually going to be seeing him in a couple weeks. Well, next week, I guess. I'll be down in the Miami area and be able to watch him. And so I'll get an up-close kind of feel for where things stand around him. But he's probably right at the top for them in terms of where they want to go when it comes to, you know, offensive tackles. And then another one is Andrew Taylor, who's out of Colorado. He's really one of the top offensive linemen in the country, and he's still out there, and he's still kind of navigating his recruiting process. So I think he's one that you can definitely see a potential for LSU to end up with. But he's kind of ways away from doing that, and he's got to decide if he wants to do a mission trip and do all of that. So once he kind of makes those decisions with his family, we'll have a better idea with where they stand.
Billy Embiid, go to 247 Sports. Thanks for the update, buddy. I greatly appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, man. Thank you very much. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, Astros waiting to see who they play in the division series. Chandler Rome, Houston Chronicle, updates this
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Oh, it's playoff time in Major League Baseball. We've got winner take all, National League wild card game today, American League wild card game tomorrow. The Astros are waiting to see on Friday when they start their run whether it'll be Tampa Bay, the Rays, or the Oakland A's that they will face. And we are thrilled to have Chandler Rome, who does a tremendous job covering the Astros at the Houston Chronicle. Chandler, have you had more fun in a season than you've had this year? I mean, what a year these Astros have had. Thank you for the time, and how you doing?
A little tired, but the grind is just beginning, as you can imagine. But, I mean, yeah, it's fun in certain regards, but it's a lot more work sometimes. I mean, when you've seen two no-hitters and almost a third on this past road trip in Seattle, I mean, those are a lot of work. And then just, I mean, this team could sweep the postseason awards circuit. They're certainly going to have two winners. Maybe Bregman will get the MVP. And, I mean, it's a good bit of work, but, I mean, that's what you sign up for. And you got to kind of remind yourself every day that you're fortunate to do this for a living.
Yeah. Who wins the Cy Young? I mean, you got Verlander, you got Cole. The numbers are eerily similar. Who wins it?
I'm glad I don't have a vote because I have no idea who I vote for. You know, and you can kind of copy and paste what I'm about to say about the Cy Young, maybe into the MVP race. I think maybe the MVP race is a little more, there's a little more stat disparity between Mike Trout and Alex Bregman. But I think you'd have to go ask all 30 voters that are going to vote for the Cy Young what they value the most. And you're probably going to get, from the 30 people, you're probably going to get 30 different responses of what statistic they value the most. Do they value that Justin Verlander, from his first start of the season to his last, was consistent? He didn't have a bad outing this year. And you look at Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, after his first three or four starts, had a 5 ERA. And he had to kind of turn some things around and adjust some things. But Gerrit Cole pitched better than any major league pitcher the second half of the year. Do you value that Justin Verlander's thrown 20 more innings against playoff teams than Gerrit Cole did? So, I mean, there's so much you can kind of dissect, and you're going to have to, you know, be really scrupulous in how you and how these voters decide what they want to do. And I think if Gerrit Cole finishes second in the Cy Young, you can point back to a start in April against the Rangers where he gave up a career worst 9 earned runs and 4 1/3 innings. He found out after the game that he was tipping his pitches. He went back and looked at the video.
Okay.
I think if you take that start out, not even take it out, if you just normalize that start and say he gives up maybe 2 or 3 earned runs in that start instead of 9, you know, that changes his line, that changes his season dramatically. And you hate to say that a start in April costs you a Cy Young, but when things are this close and when the stats are this close, that may be what it comes down to in this situation. Yeah.
Chandler, how has Zach Greinke responded, and how has he fit in with this ball club?
You know, from everything I see in the clubhouse before games and kind of how he interacts with his teammates, he's just kind of one of the guys. He's playing cards. He's in their fantasy football league. He's, from what I can kind of gather, he's making a lot of trades in his in the fantasy football league. He's kind of the trade maestro of the fantasy football league. So he's fit in well. He's certainly not going to be the guy that I think what suits him so well with this club is he doesn't have to be the spokesman. He doesn't have to be the face of this club and not even the face of the rotation either. You've got Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole who do that very well, who can handle the spotlight. You've got Altuve, you've got Bregman, you've got guys that are very well versed in being the team, the face of the team, if you will. And for in Arizona the past 4 years, I mean, he was the guy. He and Paul Goldschmidt were the guys, and I don't know if that's a role that really suits him very well. So I think he's found a place where he can kind of do his thing in the background. He's meshed with his teammates very well. AJ Hinch is a manager that lets his guys be who they are. There are a lot of different personalities in that clubhouse, and you don't feel like any of them are forced to be something they're not. So I think this is a good fit for Zach Greinke, and certainly in his last outing, he threw as well as any pitcher can throw, and he certainly, that was the best we've seen him as an Astro.
Chandler Rowan with the Houston Chronicle. Let me just throw some things out there. First, in batting average, first in lowest strikeout rate, third in the majors in home runs. The bullpen had the third best ERA in the majors. You ranked fourth in defensive runs saved. Bregman, MVP candidate. We talked about the three pitchers. You got Michael Brantley and rookie Jordan Alvarez. Some help from the left side that you didn't have a year ago. And you're pretty healthy this year. I guess Carlos Correa's back is the only concern. How is his back, by the way?
I wish I knew. The Astros are going to close their workouts until Thursday, so we won't really know much about Correa until Thursday. But there is some concern there because this is not the first time that, obviously, if you follow the Astros, this is not the first time you've heard the same song and dance with Carlos Correa, that he wakes up one day feeling great with his back and then it tightens up on him and he can't play. This has been an ongoing saga for about 2 years now, and it's something that certainly is frustrating to Carlos Correa and the Astros, but certainly frustrating the fan base as well. The Astros have a real decision to make if they want to carry him on their American League Division Series roster. He's taken 11 major league plate appearances since August 19th. That's not a lot, and he's not really shown. Wow. He's not done anything in the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks, baseball activity related, since he was scratched last Tuesday in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So this next week, starting today and through Thursday, is going to be crucial for him. He's going to take some live BP sessions at Minute Maid Park. He's going to field ground balls and things like that. And he's going to have to prove to Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch that he can play at his elite level to merit inclusion of the ALDS roster. I'm not convinced as of right now that he's automatically on the roster. They're going to have to really see a lot from him in these next few days. And if he's not on the roster, again, this is a team that's deep enough, and this is a team that has enough weapons to be able to compensate for that. But, I mean, he's the number one overall pick in a draft. He's a generational talent when he's healthy. And to leave him off of an ALDS roster, right, would certainly be something that the Astros would have to really overcome.
Well said. Chandler Rome, covering the Houston Astros for the Houston Chronicle. They will open up the American League Division Series Friday against either Tampa Bay or the Oakland A's, who will play a winner-take-all one game on Wednesday. I want to talk about maybe the most overlooked player for the Astros, and I want your opinion of this former LSU Tiger and Will Harris, who he bounces between roles in the Houston bullpen. He's had the league's most, the fifth-best ERA of any pitcher over the past 5 years, better than Craig Kimbrell, better than Kenley Jansen. He just kind of does what they ask of him. He's kind of overlooked, but boy, he's valuable, isn't he?
Well, he's unbelievably valuable. And I think managers, people in baseball will tell you the same sort of thing. The best relievers are sometimes guys that you don't know their names. They just go in there, do their job, and they leave. And they kind of, the best relievers are sometimes overlooked because they just, you kind of expect them to go in and do their job. And that's what Will Harris is. He sometimes is given the ball when the game is most in the balance. He's the guy that in the playoffs, when the playoffs come up, and certainly we saw it in the regular season too, he's going to be the guy that if a starting pitcher gets into a jam at any point in the fifth or sixth inning and A.J. Hinch kind of sees it at the end for the starting pitcher, Will Harris is the guy he gives the ball to get them out of that inning. He inherits runners and he strands them. He's a guy that needs to come in and be their fireman, be their guy that puts out all the fires when the starting pitcher is at the end of his line. So he's having a career year. He's going into free agency this offseason. I think the Astros would certainly be to their advantage to explore reunion with Will Harris pretty intently, because this is a bullpen that's preparing to lose four guys to free agency. I think going after him and exploring a reunion with Will Harris makes a ton of sense, because he enjoys playing in Houston. It's close to home for him in Louisiana, he's been at A.J. Hinch's side, A.J. Hinch's entire tenure. He's been here as long as A.J., and they have a really good bond and a really good trust with one another, and he's certainly putting himself in position to get a nice deal in the offseason.
That's awesome. The unnoticed hero for this club amongst many of them, Chandler Rome, the Houston Chronicle. So who – take me through the year. Who would the Astros rather play, or does it matter? They don't have to play somebody. Is it Tampa Bay or is it Oakland? What do you think? Who's got the advantage, and who do the Astros match up better against?
I don't think either team is, like, easier to play. I think both of them present a lot of problems to the Astros. And you've seen the A's this year. They gave the Astros fits in the second half. The Astros won the season series 11-8. Still, they're a difficult team to match up with. They've got guys at the top of their order that play really well. Marcus Semien is probably having the best season that nobody's talking about in baseball. He's probably going to finish third in American League MVP voting. They've got Matt Olson, Matt Chapman. They're a really good defensive team in the infield. They're just a really solid bunch all around. They don't have a high payroll. This is a team that's just kind of a lot of grinders and a lot of really good players that play the game the right way. Where they kind of lack a little bit Their rotation is not great. They've got Sean Manaea, who's going to start the wild card game. Mike Fiers is pitching okay for them. They've got a couple of prospects in their bullpen. They can piece it together okay on the mound, but certainly from a pitching perspective, you look at the Rays. The Rays are the far more daunting challenge when it comes to pitching. They've got the Astros' old friend Charlie Morton, who's going to start the wild card game, and who's been phenomenal for them. And they've got the reigning Cy Young winner, Blake Snell. They've got Tyler Glass now. They've got a bullpen full of matchups that are kind of nightmarish for the Astros. And the Astros historically have not played well at Tropicana Field at all. You remember that they lost their opening day series on opening weekend. They lost 3-4 to the Rays in Tropicana Field to begin this season. And that's kind of been a theme for this team. They don't play well there. So certainly they have home field advantage. So they'll only play one or two games there. But I think if you had to ask me to pick, I think they'd rather face the Rays just because of the Rays don't hit as well as the A's do. And I think they think their pitching matches up better against kind of a suspect Tampa lineup as opposed to the A's. And I think they think their offense is as good as any in baseball, and certainly the stats back that up. And while the Rays would present a lot of different challenges on the mound, I think we've seen this lineup excel against most of them. So I'd probably cautiously say that they'd rather play Tampa, but I don't think either of those teams is any sort of a pushover. I expect that ALDS to be a pretty compelling series no matter who they play.
Well, I hope you can get some rest and get your second wind, because this is the fun time of the year, and the Astros, the betting favorite, 107 wins on the year. They could sweep all kinds of awards. Golly, what a fun year. So thank you for your time as always, man. You do a terrific job, and good luck to the Stros. Watch out for my Redbirds in the World Series, though. Watch out.
All right. Thanks, Jordy.
All right, buddy. You take care. Chandler Rome covering the Astros for the Houston Chronicle. Again, if you're just joining us, this Friday, first pitch around 1:05 from Minute Maid Park. Astros will take on either Oakland or Tampa Bay in the first game of their division series, and that game will air right here on 103.7 The Game pregame show, I think, 12:30, and then we'll carry the game from start to finish and then go from there. So what a year it's been for them. We hope it's a great year for the Pelicans. We'll hear more from Zion next as we get you ready for the close of hour number one and the beginning of hour number two. We'll tell you what's coming up in the second hour of the program. And don't forget, Opelousas Rotary Club auction tonight, 6 to 10 p.m. live on KDCG. And if you want to win a pair of tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, then text ANN, A-N-N, that's A-N-N, to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see them live this Saturday at the Cajun Dome. Once again, just text Ann, A-N-N, to 68683. Your chance, a pair of tickets, Hart, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts. So when we come back from break, CD's going to get a song. He's going to get something. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Blackhearts or Hart or both. This Saturday, the Cajun Dome, it's going to convince you to text Ann, A-N-N, to 68683. Can't wait to hear what he picks out when we return here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. How about them Stros, baby?
This is Steve Sparks with the Houston.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. I wanted to touch on briefly on this California bill that made history yesterday, dubbed the Fair Pay to Play Act. that was signed into law. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the bill during an episode of The Shop with LeBron James. The law allows college athletes in California the ability to profit off of their name and likeness. This has nothing to do with universities or LSU or UL paying athletes for things. This gives, I equate to this. Let's say there's a great violinist that goes and gets a scholarship to LSU or UL to play the violin in the band and you know, symphony orchestra. And that violinist gets a chance to go perform at a wedding and get paid, or go perform for another symphony, the Baton Rouge Symphony, and get paid. This is allowing athletes to do the same thing. Now, guess what? We're not talking about the backup running back. We're not talking about the sixth man on the basketball. We're talking about a very few individuals. And do you think some of these businesses are going to all of a sudden write a blank check to an athlete? No, it's not going to happen. This is not as great as the bill signing would lead you to believe. And it's not as devastating as the NCAA is trying to make you believe, because they have been strongly opposed to the bill and they've threatened to ban California schools from postseason competition, including the NCAA tournament. LSU has a contract, UL has a contract with Adidas. And let's say their superstar player, he can't go to Nike and get a deal with Nike because the school is contractually committed to Adidas. LSU has contracts with, they've got their corporate partners, right? Corporate partners. A player can't go out and go up against a competitor of the corporate partner. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But this gives, look, other states are going to fall in line. And this thing starts in 2023. So you know what that tells me? Okay, that tells me, okay, NCAA, you're on the clock. This is all going to work out. I promise you, there's going to be give and take. It's all going to work out. But it's not like all of a sudden people with a lot of money are going to start giving out tons and tons of checks to these players. Look, that stuff is done already. Trust me. It's done, and it's been done forever and a day with great players. That's just the way it goes. But I don't see a big change in this thing at all. I really, really don't. At the end of the day, virtually every student on campus has the ability to market their own likeness. Allowing athletes to do the same is just common sense, especially when somebody is probably already compensating them for their value of their labor. So thanks to a bipartisan effort in California, we're closer to reaching that goal. Athletes should have the same rights as regular students. Simple. Common sense. How much do you think Zion would have made? Huh? How much do you think that would have been? What a factor, right? And they're practicing as we speak. We got one little, I just want to play one more soundbite from Zion. He's just got that attitude. He's the most infectious attitude since Magic Johnson. And he talked about, you know, everybody said, well, what a football player he would be. So he goes to LSU games. He goes to Tulane games. He goes to Saints games. Here's what he says about what he thinks about when watching football games.
All the time, because I love to watch, especially college football. I love watching college football. But when I'm watching football, especially in person, I'm like, man, he's put me in, like, that receiver, like, 10-yard line, fade route to the corner. That's me 100% of the time. But no, like, I just love watching it. But, yeah, I do think about, man, I might could be out there.
You think anybody could stop him? Seriously. About 6'7", 285, about a 45-inch vertical. Huh! Great hands. Zai, come on, baby. That's what I'm talking about. All right, hour number one's in the books. Busy hour number two. Hot topics. We'll talk about the Utah State Aggies, more about the Saints, and so much coming your way on this October the 1st, Tuesday edition. The Jordy Helper Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour two of two, and away we go. Great to be with you here on 1037 The Game as we turn the calendar to the month of October. October the 1st. Did you know that there are 16 AFC NFL football teams, 16 of them. Only three of them have winning records. Get that. Only three out of 16 teams in the AFC have winning records at this point in time. Wow. Go think about that. Tigers take on Utah State Saturday, 11 o'clock kickoff right here, 103.7 The Game pregame show at 9. Raging Cajuns off this weekend. They play next Wednesday against App State, Phil Cajun Field. Raging Cajun fans, I'm calling you out. No reason. Go fill the place. They're on a four-game winning streak. Come on. Get with the program. They're moving. They're rolling. Let's go. And the Saints host Tampa Bay in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday. If you missed hour number one, you missed Chandler Rome talking about the Astros. They open up the ALDS on Friday against either Tampa Bay or Oakland, who will play a one-game winner-take-all on Wednesday. We've got the Brewers and the Nationals tonight to see who survives and advances into the National League Division Series. With all that said and done, let's get busy. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, do your thing.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, good afternoon, CD. Let's get rolling, big guy.
Let's get rolling indeed, Jordy. But we're going to start things off looking at the NFL with a little more of an entertaining story, to say the least, about a beer vendor was recently arrested after charging a fan $724 for two beers at a Miami Dolphins game. Isn't it bad enough already that this person is a Dolphins fan and watching this game?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, well, no, because he had to drown his sorrows. He only goes for the beer. And, of course, obviously the guy got incarcerated immediately. Golly, that's crazy. So be careful with your credit cards. Be careful.
Exactly.
Watch what you're doing. But, yeah, that's ridiculous.
$724 for two beers. Honestly, I think it's worse to be a fan of those Miami Dolphins right about now until, of course, they wind up getting Tua Tagovailoa. It feels like that's the collision course and where things are going right now. And flipping on over, of course, to the world of baseball, more in particular, just one question, and that is, who wins the AL Cy Young, Jordy? It's a big debate we've had inside the 237 Roof Studios. Is it Verlander or is it Cole? Which way are you leaning?
I'm going with Verlander because I think he has been more consistent throughout the entire year. Chandler Rome convinced me of that, saying Cole started off a little cold, changed some things up, was tipping his pitches, got that rectified. Nobody's been hotter in the second half of the season. But for the length of the season, the duration, the numbers, I'm going with Verlander.
I have to agree with you. I think it's Verlander. I think it's more because of one thing that he did during the season that Gerrit Cole did not, and that was to get that no-no. I think that's absolutely huge when you look at his trajectory. And I feel like, you know, one game in particular, I was talking about this with Ben yesterday off the air, was the fact that you have Gerrit Cole. He had a big blow-up game in May where he just could not get things going. I think that could wind up hurting him as well a little bit further down the line. But now we're going to flip it on over to the NBA. And, Jordy, Your boy Lonzo Ball looking more like a big baller in his first practice for the Pels, draining threes in preseason practice. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next with Lonzo Ball in this Pelicans franchise. If Lonzo's able to keep it going after kind of hitting the reset button, as we mentioned earlier in the hour.
Well, look, he's obviously gone to a shooting coach, and he's changed his shot form and his shot release a little bit. The question is he going to be able to stick with that, or are bad habits going to resurface? Because he shoots it as a right-hander all the way across the side to the left side of his face, blocking his view. So if he can maintain the better form, look, they're not looking for him to be a high scorer. They're looking for him to be a high distributor. Let's get double-digit assists from Lonzo Ball. Let Drew Holiday, let Zion, let Ingram, let Etwan Moore do their thing. If he's a facilitator and gets double-digit assists, I think the Pels will be in good shape. So I'm hoping Lonzo does have a restart button, and this is the start of a number two pick overall. You usually don't want to fail with those kind of guys. You usually think they're going to be pretty darn good. So hopefully he becomes pretty darn good.
I agree with you, Jordy. And, you know, we got to kind of flip it on over to one big headline that's hit the Acadiana area over the last couple hours. As you're during the two-minute drill, Billy Napier and the Cajuns agreed to a contract extension, extending the head coach in his second year with the program through the 2023 season. That kind of brings up another question, Jordy. If he's able to continue to be successful, will he make it to 2023?
Yeah, I don't know what the buyout is on. I don't know any of the terms of the contract, but, you know, we said this about Mark Cutsford. I think he overstayed his time. I think he could have left when the iron was hot, but he didn't. And so I'm sure Billy Napier might be thinking the same. Hey, look, he's done a fabulous job. He's changed the whole tenor of the program. But I tell you one thing. If the fans don't show up and start packing that stadium, there ain't no reason for him to stay. Go someplace else where football is important. So the fans are going to have a lot to say whether this guy stays for the duration or whether he says, what am I coaching for? Let me get out of here.
Exactly. I think that's the big thing. You and I are both on the same wavelength about. And when it comes to Billy, when you brought up Mark Hudspeth, this is something that I've thought about is like, and we've thought about as well inside the 237 Roof Studios, is just the debate about what happens if he wins the Sun Belt Conference title this year. Our coach is going to come calling for him because he's got Ole Miss, you got possibly Tennessee, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, you brought up Mark Hudspeth. To me, Jordy, I feel like with HUD, it was the fact it was just those 8-4, 8-4, 8-4. There was no true progress. When we look at other programs that have gotten the, I'm just naming Sun Belt guys, I think obviously you're going to bring up Scott Satterfield, Neil Brown, the last couple of years. I think maybe these coaches are a little bit more wary about those kind of guys because remember, Jordy, Arkansas State had like three or four straight years of getting guys for 1 year, and then they'd go over to the SEC and varying results, of course. I mean, Hugh Freeze, remember him from Arkansas State? So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all about the money. It's all about the payday. And if they get fired, they got guaranteed money coming their way. UL can't compete with Arkansas when it comes to a budget. I mean, you can't blame a coach for going. No, I think Dan Mullen's the one I was really referencing. He got reprieve. I thought he stayed in Starkville way too long, but he got a reprieve. He's in Gainesville. How much money is he making now? I mean, it's all about that. So, UL, it's on you. Your fans, you don't show up. Don't be surprised if your coach hits the road one day sooner than you want. We'll take a timeout. This is Hot Topics brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet, Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. The finest spices, the finest peppers. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Utah State coming to Tiger Stadium with a quarterback and a high-octane offense. We'll hear from their radio color analyst, Kevin White, next.
Bring a... The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever. As you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Well, as we all know, LSU and Utah State will kick it off this Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time in Tiger Stadium. Utah State riding a three-game winning streak, just beating Colorado State. We're thrilled to be joined by a former quarterback that took his junior college to the national championship at Snow College, and he transferred over to Utah State, was a quarterback there, and now businessman and the color analyst on the Utah State radio network. Kevin White, kind enough to join us today. Kevin, thank you for the time. I greatly appreciate it. How are you?
Good, Jordy. Can you hear me okay?
We got you, baby. We got you. The modern technology, no matter where you are, we will find you. So you were a quarterback. So tell me about Jordan Love. From a quarterback's perspective, how do you evaluate the current quarterback for Utah State?
You know, this is a young man that came into Utah State at about 6'2 and a buck 70, and has now grown into 6'4 and 225, and he can make all the throws, and he's developing himself into a real pro. Matter of fact, there's a lot of scouts out there that look at Jordan Love as a potential first-round sort of talent. And so he's got the arm talent. He's got the footwork now, which is an area that he's really, really worked on over the last couple of years. Before last year, it was really just all depending upon his arm and his arm talent. But now he's got the footwork. He's got the RPO ability. And he can make every throw, the deep outs, the long balls, the short touch ball. He's really got the complete package. He's struggled a little bit so far this season with five interceptions. He only threw six all of last season, threw three in opening night against Wake Forest, and then two in a downpour all night long Saturday night against Colorado State. So, you know, he's gotten used to some of the new receivers. A new offensive line. He's had a little bit of struggle kind of putting that all together in the first few games, but overall he's got a wealth of talent.
Well, this offense is averaging 533 yards a game. Love's thrown for 1,207 yards, and it looks like he's got a pair of good running backs. Tell me about Jaylen Warren and Mr. Bright.
You mentioned that, you know, my past history at Snow College. Well, Jaylen Warren is also a Snow College transfer. Just 30 years behind me, but he's a tough nose running back. He's a little bit like the guy we had last year, Darwin Thompson, who's now playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. A small guy, you know, 5'8", 220, very compact. And as Coach Gary Anderson says, he likes to put his face on you. He's not afraid of contact, and he'll seek that out. And he's got tremendous balance and the ability to bounce off and make people miss. He's averaging 6.5, almost 7 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns on the season. But then it was the senior co-captain, Gerald Bright, on Saturday night that carried it 36 times for 179 yards.
Wow.
And was really the bell cow in that rainstorm on Saturday night. And he's gotten his opportunities. Both of them have rushed for over 300 yards so far through the first four games. So they've got a really good 1-2 punch there and good balance between those guys. Gerald Bright's a little bit more of your speed guy, your outside-the-tackle kind of guy.
Okay.
You know, Jaylen is a little bit more of a tough runner.
Gotcha. Kevin White, kind enough to join us, Utah State radio color analyst. Ed Orgeron said that the difficulty in facing Utah State's offense is its speed. He said very, very fast. He also said we're going to have to practice at warp speed. So a little Star Trek analogy there. Just how fast is this offense? What's that tempo like?
They are ultra fast. They have the ability to, you know, they do a little bit of look over from time to time, but they are going at as soon as the official can spot it. If there's no substitutions, they're right back at the line of scrimmage, and they're ready to go for their next play. So, you know, that's part of the strategy, is to try to get you into a situation where you're not able to substitute, and that you're running in and out as fast as you possibly can to wear down the defense and to not let you get into some of those, you know, more exotic blitz packages, if you will, to keep you more base on the defensive side. So, you know, that's really one of the strategies. As soon as the official spots it, they're ready to go.
You don't get a chance to say much then, do you, as the color analyst? My goodness. That's not fair.
You know, my partner and I talked a little bit about that, and you know, there will be two or three plays before I get another word in. That is part of the deal.
Kevin White, kind enough to join us. Three straight wins after losing to Wake Forest. Colorado State's pretty darn good football team. It has been in the past, but there, those on the team that feel Utah State still isn't playing anywhere near its best football. Are you in agreement there?
I would agree with that for sure. You know, I think their best is still ahead of them. And they really had a chance and probably should have won that game against Wake Forest. And apologize, I'm finding a new spot here in the building to try to find some, some quiet. But
You're good.
As I mentioned, as you mentioned, I'm a businessman. I am a former player. So at our building right now, trying to find some space. And I think I found it. You know, it's interesting. At Wake Forest, Utah State went up 35-31 with about 3 minutes to go in that game. And then Wake Forest scored with about a minute to go. Utah State got the ball back and was driving the field. And inside their red zone, inside the 20, Jordan Love was intercepted with about 15 seconds to go. Well, Utah State had a chance to either tie or take the lead in that game. So I think Utah State, if they can piece it all together, stay clean, they're -2 in the turnover ratio. They've got the ability to stay close in this game on Saturday. I think they've got that ability. And Coach Anderson will tell you that if they can keep it to a touchdown one way or the other going to the fourth quarter, anything could happen. They have that capability. They have that belief. They've had experience several years ago at Auburn where they were up 10 with about 5 minutes to go and ended up losing that game. At Wisconsin, at USC, at Michigan State even last year, were going in for a tying score and had an interception late in that game. So they've been close in these Power 5 games year over year, but they haven't won one in 40-plus years against a Power 5 school. So there seems to be...
How good is this Savon Scarver? I mean, you guys are the best return team in the country.
That gentleman is legit. He took one Saturday night about 8 yards deep. And my partner said, and he's chomping at the bit to bring it out. He won't do it on, oh, here he comes, he said. And out he came from 8 yards deep. He took it 108 yards for a touchdown. That's his fourth kickoff return for a touchdown in his career. He was a consensus All-American last year, led the nation in kickoff returns a year ago, and is doing it again this year, averaging over 40 yards a return. But everybody's kicking after that. I mean, there was no kicks close to him after that one. And people are kicking away from him. He's only got four returns all season long, but he took one of them back. And he is a legitimate threat, and he's now developed into a pretty good outside wide receiver as well. And so he's developing a little bit more of an all-around game, and he's really a legit weapon in that return game for sure.
We're talking with Kevin White, Utah State coming to town. The Aggies for an 11 o'clock kickoff, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, so it's an early early extravaganza for those in Logan, Utah. But LSU, everybody knows they're fifth in the country. They have an offense that's leading the nation in scoring with a quarterback that's a Heisman Trophy candidate. Do you anticipate a shootout come Saturday?
I hope not, because LSU will run away with that one, in my opinion. I think Utah State defensively has got to do a few things to limit what LSU does offensively. I don't know that anybody can. That's really one of Gary Anderson's concerns as well. You know, just the number of weapons that LSU has, and when you see Burrow throwing it at an 80-plus percent completion percentage rate, just so efficient and so effective, you know, I think – he would prefer to stay out of a shootout, but it may, in fact, become that. But again, you're so good defensively as well. I think that trying to keep pace with your athletes is really a concern. I think if Gary had his choice, I think he would like to see that running game produce a little bit more and maybe not go quite as much tempo to the middle to the latter part of that game. If you've got the running game going, perhaps you can do a little bit more look over and try to take some of the clock off. That's got to be one of the strategies against the LSU offense that opposition is going to deploy, is how do you keep Burrow and the offense off the field? It's the same strategy that everybody uses against Jordan Love. If you can possess the ball, and oh, by the way, Utah State only possesses it about 26 minutes a game, that's been an effective strategy that both San Diego State, LSU, at Wake Forest, and again with Colorado State. So you know, I've got to believe that that may be one of the keys tonight, on Saturday, is who's got the better of the time of possession to keep the opposing offenses off the field.
Makes perfect sense. Kevin White, tell me what it was like winning a national championship in junior college at Snow College. How fun was that?
Well, you guys, you know, down in your region, have got some good JUCO football in Mississippi and other places.
Yeah.
That was 1985, so it's been, almost 35 years ago. And, yes, we did have face masks. We didn't wear leather helmets. But it was a tremendous experience. The first airplane ride I ever went on was the bowl game that we played in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Snow College is in a small town in central Utah. And we ended up playing northeastern Oklahoma and A&M in the championship game and won that ball game. And, it was the one and only national championship for Snow College in football. So it was a lot of fun. I then left for a two-year Mormon mission after that year. That was my freshman year, and I ended up then going to Utah State when I returned and played 88, 89, 90 at Utah State.
Well, I know Jackson Vroman, one of the proud alumni of Snow College, and you're the second most popular recognizable figure behind Bronco Mendenhall. How about that? Kevin White, enjoy. Come on down to Baton Rouge. We'll serve you some beignets and breakfast, and you'll have a good old time. We'll be very hospitable before the game. I'm not so sure during the game, but afterwards as well. So safe travels and enjoy your visit down here in the Deep South.
Hey, thanks a lot. By the way, Bronco and I were teammates on that team, that 85 championship team.
There you go.
And Gary Croton, you remember Gary, one of your old offensive coordinators, was my offensive coordinator there. So a lot of Snow College connections back to this part of the region in the world. So we look forward to seeing you there on Saturday.
Sounds great. Kevin White, thank you so much. Boy, 6 degrees of separation. We'll take a time out, and when we come back, Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television will join us. We'll talk more about the New Orleans Saints past, present, future Tampa Bay Bucks coming to town here on the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, welcome back. It's an off day in the NFL. Tuesdays is the day everybody gets to kind of decompress a little bit, try to get back and get ready for the next one. And for the New Orleans Saints, that's the Tampa Bay Bucks. But we're thrilled to be joined on this Tuesday by our good friend Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television, who covers the New Orleans Saints. How many years you've been doing this now for the Saints and Cox Sports Television? It's been a long time.
You know, 14. I was lucky. My first year was Peyton's first year and Drew Brees' first year. So it was good timing.
Direct correlation. Don't get hurt, okay? Stay injury free, Mike. Don't go crazy on it. But, what an impressive win! And I guess that's why they so many team people have picked the Saints to be a Super Bowl contender. It used to be all offense. Now they've shown they can do it with special teams. They can do it with defense. They can do it in a myriad of ways.
Yeah, really, it's different than the team that won the Super Bowl. It's different than the team that set the records after the Super Bowl, because that was a well-rounded team. But this is even more so. Will Lutz is a kicker who's almost automatic every time he goes out there. You know, Thomas Morstead's going to do his thing. But the defense, to me, Jordy, what really makes them special is it seems like every play, it's somebody else. It's not just Cam Jordan. You know, it's not just Marshawn Lattimore. It's A.J. Klein, David Onyemata. That's what's fun about covering this team and following this team is you never know who's going to step up on defense. And with Shelton Rankins back, so many guys are stepping up.
Yeah, the impact of Rankins, and what is that? How does that affect this club, in your opinion?
You know, he was having his career year a year ago. And he got hurt, right before the playoff run. And, And that was tough on this football team because they needed him. He was such an important aspect. It was funny, the evolution of Sheldon Rankins, because, you know, he came in as such a highly touted first-round pick, but he struggled a little bit early on. But then he got better, and he started, you know, really honing his craft. And it was a tough injury last year. And he thought at the time, you know, maybe he'll come back mid-season. But he told me after the game on Sunday night that his target was game three against the Dallas Cowboys, and he meant that. And he also said after the game that, you know, I asked him how he felt, and he said he felt pretty good, but he thought, you know, going in that somebody may have to carry into his car. You know, it's been a long time since he played a football game, and he's been through so much rehab. But, you know, you talk to Cam Jordan, and you talk to even the linebackers and the defensive backs in this team, and, you know, he really completes that defensive line in so many ways. And if Marcus Davenport can be the player they expect, having he and Cam Jordan and Sheldon Rankins, you know, that could be a defensive line that could be a force for the Saints for many years.
I was asking, where has Marshawn Lattimore gone? Well, he reappeared, didn't he? He was spectacular against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, he has it in him, and he's a guy that's in a tough spot in this pass-happy league where the rules are slanted against the defense. You know, he has a tough job, and he's learning, and, you know, offenses are figuring him out. You know, he's still a young player in this league, but at the core, he's an exceptional player. And the Saints were very, you know, lucky that he fell to them in the draft. It's funny how it works when you look back. If Lattimore would have been picked earlier, I think Sean Payton has said this on a couple occasions, he would have picked Patrick Mahomes if Lattimore had been picked. So Marshawn Lattimore is kind of a defining player on this team in so many ways. I mean, can you imagine if they had Mahomes and he would have stepped in instead of Bridgewater the last couple of weeks, how crazy that would have been. A dynamic with the Saints offense. But yeah, Marshawn Lattimore is one of those guys that's a rarity in this league. He's a shutdown corner. He's a playmaker, and he's a guy who's going to take away often the number one wide receiver. So to have him back, you know, along with the line making plays, and Von Bell, you know, in the middle of three turnovers the last couple of weeks, and then you couple that with Sheldon Rankins and that D-line, that's why the defense is so good, and it shut down, you know, one of the best offenses in the NFL last week.
Well, they're really good against the run. There's no question about that. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. Okay, you always get the last word with Drew Brees. Drew was on the sidelines. You got to talk to him after the game. We saw him before the game. All the NBC cameras were on him. He was going through his normal drills like he would normally do, sans football. He's on the sidelines. He's helping coaching. He's helping Teddy Bridgewater at halftime. What was the experience like for him? First time he's missed a game in quite some time.
He's antsy. He's really antsy. You could see we're doing our pregame show, and we saw him running almost right into us before the game. And it's uncharted territory for him. He said when he was in L.A. last week watching the game on television when they played the Seahawks, he had a lot of people ask him, you know, when's the last time you saw a Saints game on TV? He said that was the question he would get the most. He said, never. I've never seen a Saints game on TV because I'm either playing in them or I'm on the sideline. So that was a different experience. And this is too, and I think they got to be smart with Drew Brees. You know he's going to try to exceed the timetable of before the bye week. But I think if Bridgewater can hold serve and this team can keep winning and finding ways to win in a complete fashion, you got to take advantage of that bye week with Drew Brees. I mean, if the timetable is 6 weeks, it would be, you know, right after the bye week. And I know he wants to be 5 weeks right before the bye week in a very seemingly winnable game against Arizona at home. But I think they got to be smart. But you know what, Jordy? A lot can happen over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, I anticipate Drew begging to come in early. But I think if you're a Saints fan or if you're in the organization and you want what's best for them, you would hope that they can play well enough to give Drew that extra week of rest with the bye week.
I'm with you. Mike Nabors, kind enough to join. Did you ask Drew, is it watching the Saints play? Does he feel like all of us do? Sometimes they drive us completely crazy and we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's hard on us.
Yeah, they're close games, too. I mean, that game obviously could have gone either way, and that's really status quo in the NFL. They always usually come down in the last 5 minutes. So, yeah, he said, you know, it was. He tries to help Bridgewater when he can. And I was giving him a hard time because Sean Payton said something interesting during the week that, you know, usually they have a snack the night before and then they kind of look over some extra tape. And
Bridgewater came up to Peyton and he said, you know what, can we watch the tape first and then get the snack? And Peyton kind of chuckled and he texted Breeze and he said, you know what, we're already changing the routine when you're not here. And I asked Breeze, did Peyton really do that? And he said, yeah, he's like getting all kinds of texts about you. You're not here. We're changing this. We're changing that. So whether it's the game or the pregame preparation, it's a whole different life for Drew Brees, who obviously is the ultimate competitor. He doesn't like sitting out of preseason games, Jordy. So you know this is driving him crazy.
Right, right. No question. Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television. The NFC South seems to be a little bit more challenging of late. Carolina is 2-2 after consecutive wins with Kyle Allen as its new quarterback. And, of course, we know what Tampa Bay did. They went to the same place where the Saints and Drew Brees got hurt, and they embarrassed the Rams 55-40, and they're now 2-2. So looks like the Bucs are coming to the Superdome looking like a much better team than they did after losing to the Giants a week earlier.
Yeah, and it says a lot about this Bucs team, Jordy, that they could have easily been 3-1. They missed that 34-yard field goal against the Giants. And that was a heartbreaker because they go into a road trip where they're not back home again until November. So it says a lot about Bruce Arians and the mindset he's given that football team that, you know, we got to shake that off. And he's really given them kind of a cocky attitude a little bit, something they haven't had, a chip on their shoulder. They haven't had that in a while. So Jameis Winston's playing better. Todd Bowles has that defense believing. And, boy, that defense has a ton of holes. So it's remarkable what the coaching staff's done in Tampa Bay. And that's a game that I think it'll be a real defining game in a lot of ways, because if the Saints can win this game, you look back and say, you know what, they kind of separated themselves a little bit in the NFC South, and the Bucs win against the Rams, you would think in the long run would help the Saints because they need the Rams to lose a little bit. But yeah, the Bucs, you know, attitude adjustment after losing that game against the Giants coupled with Panthers, you know, this goes to show you, you know, I know nothing about the NFC South going in because I thought the Atlanta Falcons would be the toughest team in the division, and they're awful so far. So you never know in the NFC South. It has that history of worst to first, and it looks like that could possibly be the case this year, but it makes this game more intriguing with the Bucs coming to town.
They opened things up a little bit more for Teddy Bridgewater. He wasn't great, but he was good enough. I mean, he overcame five sacks. He was 23 of 30 for 193 yards. How do you sum him up now? Two complete games under his belt. I'm still trying to get a feel. I mean, the defense has been great. The kicking game has been great. The offense, it's just not the same, and it's not supposed to be the same without Brees, but, it's just not close, right?
Yeah, Bridgewater is what he is. He's steady Teddy. He's not going to be great, and he's not going to be bad. He's not going to wow you with the big numbers, but he's not going to make the big mistake either. I mean, over his career, you know, he started two full seasons with the Minnesota Vikings, and if you couple that with the last two starts, he's had 31 starts in this league, Jordy, and he's never had a game. He's only had three games where he threw for 300 yards passing. He's only had one game of those 31 starts where he threw for more than two touchdown passes. So he's not going to make the big error, but he's not going to put up the big numbers. The Saints can only hope that he makes a little more big plays. And I think the X factor with this football team, I thought this would help Bridgewater because he's really a check down guy. He's a guy that's going to make the right decision. Is Jared Cook, the tight end, needs to start making plays. I mean, it's almost been the inverse effect because we've seen, you know, Jimmy Graham go places after having success in New Orleans and not playing good. We've seen Ben Watson, the same thing. But Jared Cook's been good other places in Oakland, and he's coming here and he's not putting up numbers, so it's kind of the inverse effect. I think eventually he'll get on track, but I think for the sake of this offense in Bridgewater, Jared Cook is the X factor. They need him to get involved, especially in the red zone.
I mean, Dallas is good. I mean, I saw that Dallas team a year ago beat the Saints 13-10 with Drew Brees, so they're a good ball club. The fact that the Saints were able to do something, I just think a great job by the coaching staff. I think patience offensively and a defense that just, wow, when they get to the football in a hurry. You hold Ezekiel Elliott to just 35 yards on 18 carries. I'll take that every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule is pretty bad early, so it's kind of tough to get a gauge on how good the Dallas Cowboys are. But no doubt they have talent, and we saw what they did against the Saints a year ago.
And you know, no team really played the Saints like that to that point. They ended the Saints 10-game winning streak. So, you know, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, the receivers that they have, I mean, they have talent and their defense is so good. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a rematch in the playoffs between these two teams. But, you know, so much can happen then. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the Saints really do the next 3 or 4 weeks before they get Drew Brack. I mean, to me, the fact that they won at Seattle and they beat a Cowboys team that's so talented, if they can, I mean, to me, beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that comes in pretty hot. Then you got Jacksonville and Chicago. I mean, Jacksonville's playing good football, and so is Chicago. I think this is a three-game stretch that's going to tell you everything about the Saints season.
If you can go two out of three in this three-game stretch, you got to beat Tampa Bay. You got to win now. It's going to be hard, hard to beat Chicago with that defense.
Yeah.
That's going to be really, really hard. The swing game is Jacksonville to me.
I agree. I think you got to win that Bucs game, because if you win the Bucs game, then you win one or two of the next one, you're really set yourself up good in the NFC South, because the rest of your division games come after the bye, and that's when you're going to have Drew back. So you'll have a rested Drew Brees back for the stretch run of NFC South games. And, yeah, if you win two or three, you're set up good not only in the NFC South, but you're set up good in the playoff picture in the NFC. So, yeah, the next three games are really the tell-off of the season in a lot of ways.
We'll let you go on this one, Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. You talked to Drew Brees. We saw him constantly moving the thumb. Next time you see him, tell him don't go congratulate players with that right hand. Lock that thing up and use your left hand, because it scared everybody to death. But what is he saying about the rehab? What are they telling him to do? What can he do?
Well, he's doing the internal brace, which is going to expedite the recovery. He got the second opinion. He feels good about the doctor. And he told me, the doctor said, actually, some movement in the thumb is good. If he texts and does little things like that, that's good. He's got to be careful around teammates, and ask him about the home front where he's got the three active boys and a little girl. He's got to be careful at home, too, but no incidents at home and no incidents with his teammates so far. Yeah. So he's doing everything you figured Drew Brees would do. He knew he was going to do his due diligence in rehabbing and getting back. So I really think he could probably, in his mind, he's even telling me after the postgame, you know, my thumb feels pretty good. But, yeah, he hadn't gripped a football. He hadn't thrown a football yet. So he's antsy to get back. But to me, he's got to temper all of that. If this team could do well in the next three games, Drew, take the bye week, be even more, you know, closer to 100%, and you have all these NFC South games, you're going to be rested. To me, you would look forward to having a great stretch run and a potential playoff run. So I think for every Saints fan, and everybody inside that building, they got to hope that the Saints play well in the next three games, rest Drew Brees in that bye, and then more than take your chances down the stretch with him and this great defense and special teams.
Just between you, me, and the fence post, I'm kind of glad he's not playing against Chicago. I mean, that could be a bigger, more serious injury in the wake. And do, next time you interview him, tell him he's a real athlete. A basketball player, he'd pick that thing up with his left hand. He'd be, you know, use both hands, go right, go left, throw that thing with his left hand. Come on, Drew. I mean, he thinks he's a great athlete. Let's play hoops. Come on.
That's right. Well, if he could, you know he would. I mean, he's that kind of competitor. And you can just see it on his face, even in the pregame. It's just driving him crazy. But it really goes to show you, and we've talked about this too, in the last 14 years, the fact that this is the first time he's missed time during the regular season, that shows you how fortunate every Saints fan should feel, because even the mighty Tom Brady had to miss the 1 year. So it's crazy the run he went on with injuries.
That's
so
right.
You know,
right.
you got to kind of tuck that in your back pocket too.
Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. You'll see him before the Saints play Tampa Bay. You'll see him after the Saints play Tampa Bay on Cox Sports Television. Always fun, my friend. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Anytime, my friend. We'll see what happens this weekend.
There you go. Fingers crossed and toes crossed and all that kind of stuff. All right. Don't forget the Opelousas Rotary Club auction tonight, 6 to 10 p.m., live on KDCG. Hundreds of items we told you all week long. On sale. Everything available to bid on. From furniture to sports to memorabilia to hair care, vacation packages, home decor, and so much more. Call in tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. Get a head start. Save on those Christmas presents. Most gift certificates will sell for 50 to 80% off. All the proceeds go to charitable causes. It's the Opelousas Rotary Club auction tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. on KDCG TV. We'll be back. Close things up here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Welcome back, boys and girls. Finishing touches to this Tuesday edition, the first day of the month of October. Let's go to our daily history lesson. We've got two of them for you. On this day, October 1st, 1932, in the World Series, New York Yankees versus the Chicago Cubs. Babe Ruth, in the batter's box, takes his bat and lifts it up to right field, called his shot, and then he delivered a home run for the Yankees on their way to beating the Chicago Cubs. Yes, the Babe, October 1st, 1932. October 1st, 2016, 3 years ago today, Ed Orgeron got his first win, beating Missouri at Tiger Stadium. I can remember the joy for Coach O and the dramatic shift in the mood of the players at that time. Coach O has put his imprint on the program, and it is paying off. 3 years ago today, Coach O gets the W for the Tigers. All right. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. October 1st is a big one. We've got two legendary figures that you share a birthday with today from the Sound of Music and so much more. Julie Andrews is 84 years old today. And happy 95th birthday to former President Jimmy Carter. And he still looks great. Oh, my goodness gracious. So happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you. And if it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. And don't forget about D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobriggs. Frankie's a huge sports fan, and he's got a great place. He's got that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. I swear it's the best cheeseburger I've ever eaten. Do yourself a flavor. Try it out. Right there, D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobriggs. Thanks to Billy Embody. Go 247 Sports, talking about the Tigers and recruiting. Chandler Rome giving us a preview of the Astros as they get they'll anxiously await the winner Wednesday between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Oakland A's to see who they'll be playing Friday, and that game will be right here on 103.7 The Game. Kevin White from Utah State, Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television. I think we covered you from east to west to north to south. CD, great job as always. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and listening in. And thanks to our partners that make it possible. Tomorrow, hump day. That means Huguenin and so much more. We only have one Tuesday, October 1st. Have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.